listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined, I believe, for the first time by the national security team leader at the Washington Times. He is Guy Taylor, a man with extraordinary and extensive credentials in journalism in the national security space, both at the Washington Times and elsewhere. Multiple award winner of acclamation by his peers. You frequently see him at the McLaughlin Group and, of course, on C-SPAN. We're delighted to have him here. Guy, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
You've just reported today on developments in Iraq that make that festering sore, if I can call it that, even more challenging, it would appear, for the Obama administration's strategy. Such as it is, talk a little bit about what former Prime Minister Maliki is up to at the moment and what its implications might be.
Well, Maliki is kind of lurking behind the scenes. He, after being pushed out by the Obama administration, which basically had said that we would not provide, the United States would not provide any hard military weapons back to the Iraqi military last year until Maliki stepped down, blaming Maliki for his hyper-sectarian, pro-Shiite, pro-Iran posture, claiming that it had basically created fertile ground for the rise of ISIS, a Sunni extremist group in Iraq, disenfranchising Sunnis. So Maliki was pushed out last year. He's actually been a vice president of the country since then. Administration officials basically hoped that he would kind of fade into oblivion. What I've done is I regularly interview Sunni politicians from Iraq. They're a fairly disparate group at this point. And a number of them had told me, look, Maliki is lurking behind the scenes. He's completely undermining Haider al-Abadi, the current prime minister that the Obama administration has put all its weight behind. And I thought, well, this is Sunni politicians in Iraq complaining. But then I had, you know, very senior people in the intelligence community here and the administration basically echo those claims. So the story today is just that, Maliki is still there. He's still a problem. The Shiite militias in Iraq are more loyal to him than they are to the current prime minister. He's closer to the Iranians, and he might reemerge as a major Shiite political contender in Iraq in 2018.
We're visiting with Guy Taylor, the national security team leader at the Washington Times, overseeing its reporting on the State Department, the Pentagon, and the intelligence community. You find him as a guest frequently at the McLaughlin Group and also commenting on C-SPAN. He's won his awards in a number of places, notably for reporting on the September 11th terrorist attacks. And Guy, you were just talking about how Maliki, a malign force, I think, by just about any description, may be back in a very significant way at a moment when we're already seeing ever greater evidence of Iranian involvement in the country of Iraq and its Shiite militia proxies now very much in the fight against Sunnis of both the, I think, Islamic State stripe and others. How does this likely play out in terms of the Obama administration's strategy, as you see it?
Well, the administration is the strategy. The linchpin of the strategy was to get the Iraqi government to pass a National Guard law that would formalize and legitimize armed Sunni tribes in Anbar province. You remember back in 2006, 2007, the so-called Sunni Awakening that the U.S. military helped to foster to fight al-Qaeda in Iraq at that time and ultimately really push al-Qaeda in Iraq down.
Considered really the turning point in that whole...
It was a total
enterprise.
Turning point in the occupation. And I think it basically fell apart after U.S. forces left because the Maliki government didn't pay these people, didn't say, we recognize you. They went in and said, if you have a weapon in Anbar province, you're going to jail. So the administration has pushed this National Guard legislation. They've got Haider al-Abadi, the current prime minister, trying to promote this thing. He's a Shiite, a more moderate than Maliki Shiite. And the bill has gone nowhere in a year. It's been stalled in the Iraqi parliament. And this is a problem because the idea is that Maliki and his control over a conglomerate of Shiite parties in the parliament are blocking this thing. And without it, it becomes impossible for Baghdad to legally arm any Sunni tribal militias. And the Sunni Awakening idea basically falls apart. And what you have are Shiite militias in the heart of Anbar province, which is a Sunni territory. So, you know, it's backfiring on us at this point.
It is coming a cropper. I think there's no question about it. And the interesting question is, do you really look to a different approach that bypasses the government in Baghdad and deals directly with some of these tribal leaders? We're working on some strategic thinking along those lines. Guy Taylor, let me just ask you about the country that's operating very much not just in the background now, but actually on the ground in Iraq as well, and that is neighboring Iran. You've been doing some reporting, notably your team, on an opposition rally in Paris, I believe, over the weekend, and more indications that the U.S. government is kind of, misleading the public, shall we say, about the nature of this Iranian regime that they're so frantically trying to do business with, specifically in this nuclear weapons deal. We'll talk a little bit more about this with Andy McCarthy in a moment, but give us your quick read on the opposition and what the Obama administration's doing to conceal the truth about Iran.
Well, what we decided to do at the Times is to cover this kind of controversial dissident rally that took place in France this weekend. It's basically a huge rally, and anybody who pays really close attention to the Iranian opposition knows what this group is. It's called the Mujahideen Khelq, or MEK. This is a group that was on the U.S. terror list for a dozen years and has been accused of being kind of a cult and whatnot. The reason we covered it is because this rally in France that goes on annually is massive. It's about 100,000, and it's like a who's who of current and former U.S. officials, from the heads of the Foreign Affairs Committee, Democrat and Republican, all showing up at this thing to call for regime change in Iran. And the message is, you know, why is the United States government not backing regime change? Why are they trying to deal with a hardline Islamist government that's guilty of meddling in the region? You know, I'm not going to take a position on it. I covered it purely from a news standpoint that this rally was going on. It's very interesting. It doesn't get a lot of attention in the U.S. media.
But I have myself been quite troubled by this so-called MEK outfit. Based just from your objective reporting, Guy Taylor, is it your assessment that this is a kind of peculiar communist
highly aggressive operation? Group? Highly aggressive group. If you talk with other members of the Iranian diaspora, they'll tell you that this group is wealthy and influential. However, it's threatening to other opposition groups because it tries to sort of push them out of the way and sort of cloud them out of the picture. And that's not good for Iranian pro-democracy demonstrators or activists that might be hiding out and trying to operate inside Iran, because the Iranian government will see the activities of this group that has a long history of confrontation with the mullahs, and it will crack down on people who could actually get things done inside Iran. The other thing is, this group is very pushbackish against anyone who criticizes it. The MEK has always been a controversial group, and I think what I tried to get at in my reporting is the possibility that since the MEK is no longer on the terror list, the group has evolved. It's changed into something else that's a major player on the world stage, getting headlines, you know, as a forefront of the Iranian opposition outside Iran. It's very interesting, and to pretend that the group isn't there, I think, is a naive move, both for the U.S. administration, Congress, but also for civil society in the Western world that, you know, carries on as if there aren't people calling for regime change in Iran.
It's, I guess, an open question. We'll have to leave it at this, Guy Taylor, whether you ignore them in the West or whether you buy into the argument that they actually have some clout or stature inside Iran itself. A very interesting public policy and national security challenge. We'll look forward to visiting with you further about it. Thank you very much for joining us today and for the great work that you all do at the Washington Times, one of my favorite publications from my years of very close collaboration with you as a columnist. Keep up the good work. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we'll be talking with Andy McCarthy about Turkey, the drone strikes, and Iran and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.